fans by the fans. Welcome to the Non-League Football Show. I'm Caroline Barker. Coming up this week, the curious case of Ronnie Moore, or should that be Ronnie No More, at Eastleigh.
Yeah, just 3 days before biggest game in Eastleigh's history. You know, getting to the third round of the FA Cup is within their grasp.
Plus, how to find a grassroots gem with a man that's been there and done that. The Non-League Show in association with Audio Boom. Let's bring in the team. Well, that'll be silence, because due to powers beyond our control, although don't worry, there'll be a power giving them some control as of next week. It's just me in the studio this week, but don't worry, we've got a whole host of guests to get through. So let's kick off. Well, we start with a little indulgence on the show this week, although it is relevant. And what more do we have in life if not to give ourselves a treat once in a while? Because Forest Green Rovers have arguably made one of the signings of the season. I'm going to insert a disclaimer thereafter. Picking up highly rated striker Shamir Mullings from my team, Chelmsford City, for an undisclosed fee. But will he be the difference in winning them promotion to the Football League? Chelmsford City boss Rod Stringer joins me. Rod, do you reckon this is the missing piece for Forest Green?
I hope so. You know, for Moore's sake, you know, with Sham, really, that he deserves a chance to go there. And I really believe that, you know, if he keeps doing what he's done for us at Chelmsford, and then for his sake, that I really hope it works for him. So I'm sure they must have done a little bit of due diligence on it and knowing what they were looking to take on board. So hopefully it'll be a good signing for Forest Green Rovers, and certainly a good signing for you know, what Chelmsford have achieved within this year.
Yeah, I'll try and prize the money out of you in just a minute. But for Forest Green as well, when you've got someone that perhaps is a bit of a rough diamond, because you've not had him long at Chelmsford either, is it a bit of a risk?
I think football's full of risks. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter who you are. You enter the field of play, you carry a risk. So I think football is like that. And I think it's also about taking the opportunities at the right time. And we got Shamir in that obviously was down at Havant and was a bit part player down there. What I see of Sham, I had him on loan many years ago from Southend as a very young lad. And you could see that, you know, he needed to fill out, but he had some good parts of the game. And obviously, once I'd played against him as well at Havant and seen what an handful he can be, it made me sort of certainly when I took the Chelmsford job to make sure he was one of my first targets. And that proved to be the right target because he's, you know, he started on the bench at Chelmsford. He was a little bit of an impact player, and then he sort of got the start in front of one or two other good centre forwards at the club, and he's grown from strength to strength. So I think the world's his oyster. I think Sham, as long as he sort of does the right things outside of football, concentrates on his trade now and really puts every time and effort into it, he's got the physicality to go as high as he wants. So it will be it'd be interesting, but I do think it'd be a good sign, and I think hopefully it can help Forest Green Rovers and Shamir get into the Football League, which would be pleasing to know that we've been a part of that.
How many is that for you now that you've kind of found in non-league football and seen go up to the higher divisions?
I seem to have this knack with centre forwards. It seems to be that, you know, forwards that are sort of not really doing much, that, you know, other teams have sort of been playing them in wide areas and whatever. And, you know, I've never worked with the biggest budget, so I have to sort of find these lads that want to be given a chance and normally play in a position that they feel that they're the strongest. So, you know, we had Dwight Gow, who, you know, we had at Stortford, and obviously that's probably the biggest story out of all of them because, you know, he's gone on to really big things. And then, you know, we had Cole Bissell that I believe was at Chelmsford as well, and Sutton, and, you know, he never really made it there. He sort of, I think, was playing wide at times, and when he came to me, he just said to me, look, if you can play me down the middle, I'm not worried about the money. I just want to prove that I can score goals. And so obviously Vass has gone, and now obviously we've got Shamir, you know, that's going down the same path. So with them lads, you know, that's all happened in the last 3 or 4 years. So it's pleasing that obviously I've managed to find some little gems, but you know, they've got to do it themselves. It's easy for me to give them a stage for them to show how good they are, but they're the ones that have got to open the door and walk through it. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I just need to keep looking now. As you said, that, you know, obviously we've sold two strikers in the last week, which has probably never been heard of at Chelmsford City. And, you know, obviously now we've got to lick our wounds and see if we can replace them with some good players and obviously, you know, try and have a push in the league ourselves.
Some quick points on that, because I'm expecting yes or no from you. 30 grand?
No.
Higher? Lower? You're not going to say.
Put it this way, I want to took less than 30.
Good. Higher. That's what I like to hear. A sell-on clause or perhaps a friendly?
No, there's a great clause in there for Chelmsford, yeah.
Brilliant. I mean, as a Chelmsford fan, that's one you want to hear, because so many times in the past we've missed out on that. Are you going to be able to use that money to stick it straight back into the squad then?
Yeah, I'm hoping to. Obviously, I've spoke to the chairman who ambitions at Chelmsford. He wants us to get promoted. So, you know, if the deal wasn't right, I actually took the deal by sort of like the ball by its horns, really, and said, look, let me deal with this, because, you know, I have sold a couple of players in the past, and, you know, at the end of the day, I know their value, and I didn't want it to not work for the club as much as it all worked for the player and Forest Green. So we've had a cracking deal. We're over the moon what we've got. And as I say, so, you know, same again, the chairman said to me, look, when we sit down and you find the right one, then, you know, we'll go all out to see what we can do. So I'm not going to rush. We're still in a good position. We've still got Elliot Buchanan, and who needs a run. He needs his chance. And we've still got Sean Jeffers, who I think is another potential Football League signing. And then I've just brought Jake Reid back from Met Police, who seems to be fitter and scored two good goals the other night. So he'd be back in the fold. So rather than me going panic buy, I'd rather sort of work with him. And then if things come along over the next few weeks, as January window is going to open up, then we can have a look at it then. So the chairman seems to be sort of working with me rather than against me. The last player I sold, I didn't see any of the money. So that's tough. That is really tough, because you can't strengthen on just what their basic wages. So hopefully this is going to be different at Chelmsford. And then we've also done a little bit of business with Billy Bricknell, so which was another cracking deal for the club. So, and I'm sure Billy's had a great deal there. And that's what it's about. It's all about the club, the player, and the team that they're going to, that it's got to suit all parties. And I've found that both deals that we've done this week has been fantastic for all of us.
Well, a credit to you. One final one, because I'll be accused of having a Chelmsford City show, which, of course, I'd love every week. Will the club get promoted this season?
Will the club get promoted? You know, you can never say we will. We know it's tough. You've got to take your hat off to Maidenhead at the moment. They've seemed to have had a fantastic season. And, you know, they seem very strong and they're in pole position. Playoffs is realistic. Obviously, losing the two players that we've just lost isn't going to help. But who knows what's around the corner. So if we can find some quick replacements or players that we feel are going to help to maintain that. I would never have wanted to sell the players if I didn't feel that we could still maintain that, because, you know, the promotion has got to be the number one goal for Chelmsford City, whether it happens this year or next year. But, you know, we'll do everything we can to keep us where we are. But as I say, for the club, I also have to look at the money sometimes at our level. He's also a big player in the market. So, you know, if I can find somebody, as good as Sham, then there's no reason why we shouldn't be any different. But I still feel what we've got in the club at the moment is good enough to keep us where we need to be.
Rod Stringer, an absolute pleasure. I will join you on that celebration promotion party bus, hopefully at the end of the season. Thanks very much for coming on the show.
All right, you'll be driving it. Take care.
Chelmsford City boss Rod Stringer then joining me. Good news, I've managed to get hold of Dave Anderson, who's probably on a golf course or a pub or perhaps brokering the next deal for a new player at Chelmsford. Afternoon, Dave.
Good afternoon. Now, how are you?
I'm very well, because I've just had almost like therapy sitting down and talking to the Chelmsford City boss Rod Stringer. I know it's a bit indulgent, but the fact that Forest Green Rovers have taken our star striker and half-inched him, although paid more than 30 grand, that's about as much as Rod would tell us, which I think is a great deal.
Yeah.
So, Mark Cooper at Forest Green to take I said to Rod, is it a risk? But he says, there's, you know, he's looked at a number of strikers around. Tarpey, of course, is at Maidenhead. There are strikers around our level, or National South, National North at the moment, that could quite easily step up.
I would have to agree with that. I would say the better strikers in any division can move up a division, maybe not to the top of the next division, but I do think it is possible. The other thing about it is the money end of the game. You know, putting the ball in the net is the hardest thing in football, and that's why them guys get paid the most. But I've always thought over the years that you can't always go above to bring down, because you have to do this. You have to drop into the level below, make sure your scouting's right. And if someone's scoring goals in a multitude at the level below and fits the system that you want to do, then I think it's a reasonable accusation. But what I would say is that 30 grand is a lot of dough if it's wrong.
Mm. Well, yeah. And what Chelmsford get to do with it as well would be great. I mean, he's saying he's hopeful. Now, Dave, you set me a task last week, which was to hopefully find out a bit more about Margate. I've gone off and done your bidding, as is my want in life, because I know when you click your fingers, I've got to go and make it happen. Okay,
yeah, nobody's taking that one in, boss.
Yeah. All right. No, I did it for you, just
you
for
did
you.
And I appreciate it. Thank
you. Well, it is a week that's seen the Torquay board agree to sell the club and hope a deal will be done by mid-December for that. And we promise you we try to get the bottom of Margate. For those that don't know, this is one of the big money spending clubs from Kent, rising up through the ranks of the National League, aiming for promotion to the Football League when it all went pop. Sam Inkersoll is a journalist who covers the area for Kent Live.
So Sam, we've spoken about Margate many times on the show over the past few months. Bob Laslett came in, he had plenty of plans about taking the club into the Football League. And what happened then?
I think he got bored, as I think is probably actually what happened, because he pumped in what is reportedly about £2 million of his own money into the club and kind of plateaued a little bit. They had their promotion under Terry Brown from the Ryman Premier Division, and then they struggled in the National League South and just didn't really seem to be fulfilling what Bob Laslett wanted out of the investment that he was putting in. And then he just, without any notice or warning, just walked away. And that's where all the problems started.
And has he walked away leaving the club with any sort of debt, with any sort of bills unpaid?
I don't think it's necessarily any bills unpaid, but what I've been told was that he was supposed to leave the club around £150,000 to £200,000 for this season, just to make sure they don't fall into the situation that they found themselves in.
Mm.
But from what I've been told, that money has never arrived. And the club in the summer, Nicky Ball and the management and the other and the guys who are still at the club had budgeted for that money to be there and had offered wages to players accordingly. That money's never arrived. And obviously that's now probably, what, 6, 7, 8 months ago now. And if it hasn't appeared by now, it's probably not going to. And that's why Margate find themselves in the ridiculously dire situation financially that they find themselves in.
When you say ridiculously dire, all these sorts of warnings, they could be about to go bust. Any truth in that?
Yes. When I spoke to who was chairman designate back then, but is now officially chairman, Alistair Baylis, I spoke to him about 7 or 8 weeks ago, when he first came on board, when he was first asked to come in, and he said they were 6 weeks from going bust if they carried on the way that they were. So that's how serious it was. And when I spoke to him last week, I asked him again, how much money is there? And he said there's less than no money left.
Do you think they will see the season out?
Yes, I do, because I think that they are starting to make some changes behind the scenes now with Alistair. And the commercial side of things that he's trying to bring into the club. I think they will see the season out. It's going to be a horrible ride up until then. Whether they see it through the summer, I think, remains to be seen, because priority, they have to stay in the National League South. If they get relegated, obviously they're 1 point and 1 spot above the relegation zone at the moment. If they go down, that could be the end of Margate.
It seems such a dichotomy, though, when you're saying that, you know, they could go bust. If they go down, they could go bust again. For them then to bring in Steve Brown, people know him formerly of Ebbsfleet, Lewis of Charlton, of course, bringing him in as an assistant this week.
It was a bizarre one. I mean, Nicky Bull obviously needs all the help he can get. I mean, I'm not wishing to cast aspersions here, but Nicky Ball has been putting his own money into the club. as is Alistair Bayliss. So I don't know whether Steve Brown might have something to do with that. I don't know. But Nicky does need all the help he can get, because he's just completely lost any players that he had at the club level, gone now. And maybe he just needed some help with these lesser players, no disrespect to them, but they are lesser players, to try and ensure that Margate do survive in the National League South. That's the only reason I can think of for bringing Steve Brown in. And he is a good coach. And as I said, Nicky Ball has worked wonders, to be honest, with Margate. Let's be honest, he's done fantastic things for that club. Without him, they'd be absolutely nowhere at all. So maybe it's just a little bit of support and help that Nicky Ball needs in Steve Brown, just to make sure that they survive this season in terms of on the pitch.
It does show, doesn't it, Sam, what can happen when you chase a dream and there's just one person behind that, one benefactor. Given that you've been in this from the start, you've seen those highs then of Bob Laslett coming in, the money injected to the point that they're at now. Can you compare it to any other club and any other situation that you've seen of late?
That I've seen of late, I don't think that there's, obviously in non-league there's teams that have huge benefactors. You look at the likes of Eastleigh in the National League, Forest Green Rovers and things like that. But mostly the owners are in it for the long haul and for the right reasons, you think. Whereas with Margate, I say Bob Laslett came in with this grand dream of being in the Football League, and every new owner comes into a non-league team like that, don't they? They always have these ambitions of being in the Football League in 4 or 5 years or something like that. And it goes to show, with Margate, throwing money at something doesn't necessarily work. You still have to have the right set up and structure behind the scenes. You can pay players £2,500 a week all you want, but if they don't do the job if they're not doing the job behind the scenes, and then the money runs out, this is what happens. And it's just a real sorry state of affairs. I don't think I've seen any club this badly run in terms of having a big benefactor behind them, but so poorly run behind the scenes as Margate have been.
£2,500 a week.
Yeah, well, I mean, there was chat about that. Well, I know for a fact that they were being offered that. A couple of players from the Football League. I think I'll probably refrain from naming them. But this was under the Bob Laslett era. We're being offered £2,500 a week contracts, and they were also being offered 52-week contracts. Whereas normally in non-league you get like 36-week contracts because they're part-time teams. But they were being offered full-time contracts, and I know one of them actually did turn that down because they wasn't entirely sure about what was going to happen with Margate. But that's the kind of money that was floated around and has been paid to some players as well. The people of Thanet especially need to try and get behind Margate, because they're good people there. Alistair Bayliss is there now, and he's not going to let anything go wrong there. He's not going to see them die out. But he needs help. He needs help from businesses, from fans to go in, and volunteers and people paying to just going in through the gates. If there's any sort of income that they can bring buying a match day program, then that's only a couple of quid. But a couple of quid is a couple of quid to a club that has no money. Mm. So I think it's just that they need the local people of Thanet to really get behind the team and get behind Nicky Ball, get behind Alistair Bayliss. Otherwise, there is a danger that there won't be a Margate Football Club if they don't. So I think that's the harsh reality of it.
Sam was saying there, Dave, that he believes there were some players being offered £2,500 on a 52-week contract to come and play for Margate. There's your problem right there, isn't it?
£2,500 a week? No, I can't believe that. £2,500 a week.
Well, that's not sustainable at bloomin' League One level, is it? Let alone at National
No,
South.
It's not. And I suppose what he's talking about, sort of Terry Brown and Stuart Kaiserian, because that's when the money was there. But £2,500 a week, I really can't, for the life of me, think that anyone would be on that. But I've been wrong before.
You don't know as well how much of that was maybe the money that was around at the time. But yeah, if they had that sort of finances, and then to go to the stage now where, I mean, Nicky Ball, to his credit, has brought in Steve Brown, as Sam was just saying. And Steve Brown is someone, as a coach, who should be able to do well and get the best out of the players. But I guess that stark warning there, Dave, that he's saying if they get relegated from the National South, then that could be the end of it. It just shows you how important it is to try and get that club to stay up.
It's massively important. And what you would say, looking, you look around where they are in the division. You know, Concord Rangers don't have a lot of money. Hemel don't have a lot. You know, Oxford City, but there are teams that, you know, Whitehawk, Gosport, Truro, Wilston, even up to Bath, and the budgets will be reasonable there. So it's never, ever easy. I just think this, Nicky's problem is stopping the slide. You know, when you get in this sort of chain of events where it's all going the wrong way, it's very, very difficult to turn it around, especially this time of year, because once they get through Christmas, well, I was just talking about it yesterday about a couple of clubs in and around the relegation zone of different levels. Once you get through Christmas and you're there, it's really difficult to pull away from it. And I know because I've tried it three times at Harrow. It's very, very tough.
Well, Dave, you were talking about Margate. Let's talk to another club who've had a rocky old time of it over the last decade, and that's Kettering, such a big, big club in the non-league world. But the fans are now coming together in a show of strength to show how much their team and, just importantly, their ground means to them. Richard Atkinson is one of those behind the Poppies fan petition. Hi, Richard.
Hi there.
So this is a petition to get the council, local council, to recognise the community asset value of Rockingham Road. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a very complicated issue. For those who know the history of Kettering Town, they left Rockingham Road, their stadium of over 100 years, in 2011 under the previous owner, Imran Ladak, who wanted to head off to Nen Park, the former home of Rushden and Diamonds. That move nearly led to the complete demise of the club through, you know, it was such an expensive sort of running costs, all of those things. And we all thought it was over. The last game played at Nen Park, we only fielded 10 players. There were about 300 of us Hardy fans there. We finished the game, everybody was pretty much shaking hands and saying that was it. Fortunately, the club was saved by our now owner, Richie Jern. Found us a temporary home sharing with Corby Town, who we're very grateful to. So we managed to finish that particular season. We then ended up finding a temporary home at Latimer Park in Burton Latimer, which is the home of Burton Park Wanderers. And that's where the team still play now. But obviously it's not our home ground as such. We're just sharing it. And people want to get a permanent home again and back in the town of Kettering, because obviously Latimer Park is some miles away from the town itself. Rockingham Road is still standing and it's rotting there, and it's, you know, winding people up that it sits there doing nothing. It's earmarked for housing, it's not been sold, and it's really heartbreaking. People keep going and taking pictures and seeing it falling down.
Oh yeah, I saw some of the, I think it was the start of the year, someone had sort of daubed KTFC will never die on the front gates, hadn't they?
That's right, yeah. And, you know, it's not very well secured as a site, which the landowners should be doing. So people are finding easy access in it. So there's all sorts of pictures out there on the web of the state that the ground is in now. As a result of this, KTFC Community, which is a community interest company that is connected to Kettering Town, it's not part of the club, but they run the community activities and, in, you know, and community involvement in sport activities. They put in an application to list the ground as what is called an asset of community value, which means that if it's put up for sale, then they would get a chance to bid on it, and they would have a 6-month moratorium on the sale to actually raise the funds to buy it. So obviously they thought they would have that money. The council rejected that application, listed their reasons, and this, you know, that fundamentally wound up all the supporters and the community, which is when the petition started. The petition ended up getting about 4,500 signatures, which we then presented to the council at their council meeting, and we held a march from Rockingham Road to the council offices in order to present it, which about, we think, 300 odd people turned up for. We marched through the town, had a big event, music, all sorts of things. We had a chance to speak to the council for 5 minutes about what we thought and presented our petition. At the same time, KTFC Community decided to put in a second application to list the asset, using the petition as, you know, new evidence to do that. So that was all happening. Since that point, the council have now rejected that second application as well. So that was, again, another smack in the face for everybody.
And where are you now with the council? Because they did say that would kind of be it then, didn't they, about whether you could go for another petition. So is that it in your mind?
It's, well, in terms of the asset of community value listing, it's not necessarily it. Ourselves as petition organisers and indeed KTFC community are looking at what the options are now. And I think from our point of view, we think there are only two options left on that. One is to forget about the ACV application altogether and just, you know, find other ways around this. The other is to ask for a judicial review into that decision, which would have to be, you know, done quite soon because there's a timescale on it. I think that's looking quite likely. But again, we've just got to wait and see, because the one of the other things that's happened is that the council have asked myself and a group of supporters to go in and talk to them about what the supporters' views are. We have a meeting with them this Monday. We've had a Facebook group set up and we've collected all sorts of views from the supporters, which we've put into a document. We're going to give that to the council on Monday, and they can do with that what they wish. The other thing is that Michael Brown, who is a councillor on Kettering Borough Council, has been incredibly supportive throughout all this and has been fighting really hard to find a solution for us. He's also put forward another plan at their next council meeting about possibly developing an area of land called the Weekly Glebe in Kettering, which is council-owned land, currently houses seven community pitches, but also there's some council-owned scrubland next to that, about 7 acres worth, that is not used. So they could potentially build a stadium, retain all those community pitches and have a fantastic community facility. That's going to be discussed at the next council meeting. And again, as supporters, we're trying to raise a load of people to go and be part of that meeting again and make our voices heard, because obviously we can speak there.
I mean, you're putting it so eloquently, as I knew you would, Richard, because that's the passion of a fan. But the key now, and this is what you're trying to do on Saturday, the 7th of January, isn't it? It's to show that the community really wants this football club. So to get everyone to come out and support the club.
That is it. We've joined together the petition organisers, together with KTFC community and the Poppies Supporters Trust, which, subsequent to the petition, I'm now the vice chair of. Those three bodies, we've got together to organise what we're calling a Show Your Support Day, which will be, as you say, at the fixture on January the 7th at Latimer Park against Basingstoke Town. We're asking as many people to come along as possible, just to show, you know, what the club still means to the community, not just to show the council, but, you know, to show the club that that support is still there and potential for, you know, bigger attendances going forward. We've got all sorts of things. We've got a slightly reduced admission price, and also part of the admission price will be a donation to KTFC community for their community work. We've got a free ticket draw for local schools and community groups that can apply for free tickets. We're doing a mascot experience. There are all sorts of other things we're trying to arrange to go alongside this as well. There was an ex-players day last year that had to get cancelled because of postponed fixtures. We might try and, you know, incorporate that into it. So if anybody wants to know about it, they can look on the KTFC community website, which is www.ktfc-community.com, where all the details are and all the updates. We also have a Facebook event page for people to look at, which is just called Show Your Support Day, and you'll find that on Facebook.
Brilliant.
So yeah, it should be very exciting. I mean, the initial plan was to try and get double what our average gate is at the minute. We're averaging just under 500 at the minute, so that would be obviously 1,000 people. My personal aim is to try and get the record attendance for a match at Latimer Park, which is quite ambitious, because that is 2,331, which was the attendance for the playoff final against Slough Town two seasons ago.
Well, so, you never know. You never know. People get following. If people do get following that too, and they come along to the event, you are guaranteed a good day out, because I know that the hospitality Kettering-wise has always been right up there. So, Richard, really appreciate you coming on. Do let us know how you get on Monday as well with the council, and we'll keep following the story.
Certainly will. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Richard. Richard Atkinson down at Kettering. And I said he talks with passion, and that, of course, is what you want, isn't it, Dave, from any fan trying to get something like this going. But you remember under those glittering K's, at nights at Kettering, their old home at Rocking Road as well. What a great ground.
I just brought back memories. I remember when Kevin Wilson, fellow countryman of mine, obviously was the manager there, and I remember going with Hendon on several occasions. One night game, actually, I think it was an FA Trophy game, where we we were winning. This is coming back. I can't remember the score. I think we were winning 2-1, 1-0. We had the ball in their corner flag in injury time and give possession away. Ball went up the other end. They got a corner and scored.
We unlike one of your teams.
Lost some penalty kicks. So, but it's a proper ground. I remember my last game of the season being up there with Hendon with a load of injuries, and we could have finished second. I think we'd finished third the year before. Could have finished second, something like that, and get stuffed 4-0. So I've got some bad memories of it as well. But it's a proper... It's nearly like an old league ground, Rockingham Road. It was one of them places, when you turned up on a coach, the hairs on your neck stand up. It's had that feel about it. And big club, you know, always around about 1,000, you know, 1,000 to 1,200 people at games. And, you know, to watch the demise of at that time when the chairman came in and brought Paul Gass going and that sort of whole part of it, it sort of is sad. So hopefully, you know, as I say, from the ashes comes the Phoenix again.
Well worth a follow then. Get on social media, Poppy's Fans Petition, and we'll update you. RR Petition, at RR Petition on Twitter if you want to follow what's happening there, and we'll let you know how they get on with that meeting of the council, and go along and follow your team on January the 7th. Well, Dave, I promised we'd talk all things Eastleigh. I mean, this was late Wednesday night when Eastleigh put out a short statement saying Ronnie Moore had left after less than 4 months in charge. The statement just read, the club would like to announce that due to personal circumstances over the past few weeks, the club have agreed to terminate Ronnie Moore's contract with immediate effect. They said there would be more statements in due course. Let's talk to John Couch, news editor with the non-league paper. John, it seems actually like we've heard more from Ronnie than we have from the club, because he then went on to say, my family are all good, don't worry about us. All the best to everyone at Eastleigh, didn't he, on social media, which it kind of did say the personal circumstances, that got everyone twitchy, didn't it?
Yeah, I think sort of talking to Ronnie, as I did last Tuesday, I think it's a little bit naughty, to be honest. He was so positive, and you know, he was talking about don't write us off for the title, and you know, Eastleigh have still got the financial clout to compete with the big boys in the title running. And I come away thinking, wow, you know, Eastleigh really are going places. Ronnie was very, very upbeat. They just won a very tough game at Aldershot. And so, therefore, I was surprised to see their home defeat to Chester on Saturday, and then the Maidstone defeat on Tuesday night, and of course, last night he'd gone, and I thought that was a little bit naughty to say personal circumstances, because naturally you know, you don't want to think, oh, you know, I hope everything's okay. You know, you do start worrying about his family or whatever. But, you know, to come out and say that and not really give a reason is a little bit naughty, especially when he's odds on favourite to take over at Rotherham.
Yeah, I've seen that one too. Although, I don't know if you saw this, it's Dave, he said some line about not betting and stop betting, save your well-earned money. So I don't know if that John was in relation to the Rotherham talk as well. When you say, John, a little bit naughty, I guess, I mean, it could still be personal circumstances and not relate to the family. But the problem is, we are just all in the dark, aren't we? Which, I mean, I say it's a problem, but I guess who cares, really, if the club know what's going on?
Yeah, we care, Kaz, to be fair. I think we care, the Eastleigh supporters care, the people in the division. I think that if you're using, I agree with John, if you're using that statement, it's more or less saying, look, don't pry into this because it's personal. And because I've been on the other side of the fence, I would straight away go, okay, you know, I think that statement tells you keep away and let the guys and their families get on with what the problem is. But if you're guessing that it's just been put out as a ruse or a ruse, and it isn't that, then it is wrong, I think, of the club, and indeed, you know, if Ronnie's had any say in that statement, you know, but doesn't smell right to me.
And I guess coming so close as well to the fact that playing Halifax in the second round of the FA Cup this weekend, which on paper, and we never like to look at it, and we don't, no disrespect to Halifax, but given who they beat Swindon in the last round, you think, right, there you go, they could be through to the third round.
Yes, and he was very, very complimentary of Halifax when we spoke, and we actually We had a detailed discussion about the FA Cup. He didn't want to look any further than Halifax because he said Halifax is a good side. He talked about the fact that they beat Dagenham in the previous round, so they weren't taking anything for granted. And he was very, very complimentary of Halifax. So the timing was probably the strangest thing of the lot. And I agree with Dave. It just doesn't sit right, you know. Having that conversation that I had with him last week, I mean, we look silly now, sort of kind of print, and in this week's non-league paper, it's sort of don't ride a soft boy Ronnie Moore. And, just 3 days before the biggest game in EC's history, getting to the third round of the FA Cup is within their grasp. And
will you be a shocked man if he doesn't take a Rotherham job?
I would be. Yeah, I would be. I mean, it does sort of fall quite nicely for him, really, doesn't it? I mean, Rotherham are sitting right at the bottom of the Championship, 7 points from 18 games. Do they then go for a big-name manager? Is a big-name manager really going to want to go? Ronnie's a big favourite there at Rotherham. Financially, it would make sense for the club. I'm sure Ronnie would much rather be managing in the Championship than in the National League. So, say again, no disrespect to the National League. It just all adds up to me. And if he doesn't, then I hold my hands up and say I was wrong. But it's the only thing I can think of. It really is. Yeah, what's your space, I think?
I think as well, John and Kaz, I think as well that Eastleigh now need to settle down. You know, it's no secret that they have the finances to progress. They've worked on the ground. You know, they've stabilised their position in this division. But if they now want to move in the right direction and get themselves out of non-league football, the whole place needs to settle down. They need to get the next guy in and make sure he stays for 2 or 3 years so that there's some stability around the place, because it's very difficult to progress when you're chopping and changing. Mm. Through maybe at times, guys, no fault of their own.
John, we're going to let you go because no doubt, as you said, there was a bit of a shock for you last night. So you were probably madly scrabbling to work out what you're going to fill those other pages with now. Just transfer it. It'll all be fine. It'll all come out in the wash. Thanks very much for joining us, John. John Couch of the non-league paper. Well worth a buy then this weekend to see the latest.
Christmas comes along once a year and every manager knows at this time of year, there's always chop and change. People lose their jobs. People leave their jobs, you know, it just year on year, the circle of life nearly. And we're just hitting that period now.
Are you about to sing?
No, I'm not. Not yet. Are we doing a Christmas song this year, boss?
Yeah, well, it might be called Two Tin Cans and a Length of String. I tell you what we do need to do. We need to get you off the phone and logging on to draftkings.co.uk/NL show, Dave Anderson, because you can put a free bet on there and hopefully win us some money at the same time. Thanks to draftkings.co.uk. .co.uk/NL show. Your chance of winning $200, which you can donate back to get Dave a taxi in, both Daves a taxi into the studio. Let's talk about something far more pleasant now. Well, let's talk FA Cup second round then, and a team with a good cup pedigree, Mr. Anderson. They'll feature on the telly at least, the build-up, when National Leaguers Sutton take on Cheltenham on Saturday. Let's speak to Tony Dolbear from the club. Tony, sounds like it's raucous where you are. Is that the excitement already started?
Maybe slightly raucous here. I'm nowhere near the club. But, there we go. I'm in London somewhere.
Well, you'll be hot footing it over for when Football Focus and Dan Walker turn up at the weekend.
I will on Saturday, yes. We'll be there. Looking forward to it.
Are you a bit blasé about these FA Cup events now, given the history of the club in the Cup?
No, I don't think so. I mean, five years since we played Notts County in the second round. We've had one first round appearance since then against Kidderminster, who we were well beaten. I don't think you become blasé about it. It's a nice thing to have every so often. We have a slight advantage, if you call it an advantage this year, of coming in later than we have done in the past because we're in the National League now. But then we got drawn at home to the then National League leaders, so it was hardly an easy way to get there. So it's still exciting. There's not much you can... You know, you can't ever get blasé about getting to the second round of the FA Cup, and we just hope hope it might not finish at this point.
I know this is something Mr. Anderson might want to pick up on the 3G pitch, or you can ask anything you like, Anderson. Go on.
No, I was going to say that, you know, Cheltenham, you know, not in a great vein of form, sort of down in a relegation spot at the minute, and they would have other things on their mind. It could be a really good time for the fixture for you.
I think it should be. I mean, we were in a similar position in the last round where we were away to Dartford, who were doing very well in the league below. I would say that Paul Doswell, the management, and the coaches went up to watch the replay at Crewe and came back very, very complimentary about Cheltenham and thought they were fantastic in that game. Obviously, it's not gone so well for them in the two or three games since. But we'll see how it goes. It would be dangerous to think that because they're in a bad run of form in the league, you know, the incentive of getting to the third round of the FA Cup is as big for them as it is for us, and it's not something they're going to want to take lightly.
Go on then, David. You can ask about the 3G pitch if you want. Although, I mean, Cheltenham will have experienced a 3G pitch in their time, Tony, and they'll also, a wily manager as well, having, like you said, just come through the non-league ranks. Do you think it gives you any kind of edge?
Personally, no. I don't think it does. I mean, I'd have to say, since we've put it in, there've been several games I've been watching where you watch the game, you actually forget it's being played on a 3G pitch. And it's not like one of the old ones. Everybody's agreed it's as good, if not the best one around. I don't think it gives us an advantage. Clubs have always obviously got the option to use it beforehand and train on it and prepare for the game on it. I don't think it necessarily gives us an advantage. I mean, you look at Maidstone just down the road, and their home form our home form is good. Maidstone's home form isn't so good. So
yeah.
I don't think it gives you that much of an advantage. And, you know, the one big advantage it does give us is that it gets games on when games might be off. Although on Tuesday night, having the 3G might not have been such an advantage, because if we had grass and the game had been frozen off, then we might have avoided the game against Dover.
Yeah, 6-0, wasn't it, in the end? We'll say that quietly. I said you're being complacent about the Cup, but do you think that's maybe players, was it, hanging themselves out and waiting for that match this weekend?
No, I think Paul's gone on record in the interview after the game saying he selected the side on Tuesday a little bit with Saturday in mind. We had a couple of players on the bench who probably would have started if we hadn't had such a big game coming up on Saturday. Unfortunately, we only had one of our more key players sent off in the first 20 minutes, which also didn't help. But it was just one of those evenings. And as he said, if we get a decent result against Cheltenham, then most of what went on Tuesday will be forgotten.
Go on, Dave, quickly.
No, I was just going to say, I understand Paul doing that. You know, looking at your league table, you're 9 points away from a relegation position. You're sort of sitting mid-table comfortably. You know, you can't absolutely focus on the FA Cup, you know, and make the changes that Paul made. All right, you get it. It sometimes turns on you and bites you like it has, but I think he's done the right thing. But can the player who was sent off, is he eligible for Saturday? He is, isn't he?
No, he's not. No, he's suspended.
Oh, the rules have changed, have they? Well, that's a blow.
It's now we're up at National League level, it's straight into the suspension the game following the game you're sent off. So unless you can appeal, and unfortunately we couldn't because the incident that occurred wasn't caught on video. So we've got to accept the suspension, I'm afraid. But that's one of those things. I think winning the game against Aldershot last Saturday, I think gave Paul a little bit of licence to do that. I don't know whether he'd have done it if we'd lost to Aldershot on Saturday, but give it
sure.
Having that win just gave him a little bit of license to. I mean, it wasn't no way was it a weakened side. It was it was still a side of players that have played in the National League and are members of the first team squad. But there were a couple who probably wouldn't have started who were on the bench on Tuesday, and then of course going down to 10 men and it's probably the best attack in the league at the moment didn't really help.
No, and I think as well that there's too much made of this. A weakened side. I think as a football manager, you're entitled to play any of your players at any time.
Yeah.
Without question, I think the only people you need the answer to are your board, and if your board and your chairman understand the rhyme and reason, it's no one else's business. But I think looking at it, I've done it myself in the past, and I absolutely understand why Paul's done it.
I thought you said the rhyme and league then, rather than the rhyme and reason.
I think he did.
Yeah, I think he did too. memories. Hey, Tony, we'll let you go, but if people want to turn up and touch the cup at the weekend, they can get there a bit earlier.
I can, yes. We've got Football Focus down from 12 o'clock, broadcasting live. We've got tickets on sale at the club from now until the weekend. We will be selling tickets on the day if there are any left. It's one of those things. I think all seats have gone now, but we're still selling ground tickets. And if people go to our website, they'll see exactly what times. I haven't got information immediately to hand at the moment, but if they go to our website, they'll see exactly the times. But if there are any tickets left, then they will be on sale on the turnstile, and people should just be able to walk up and pay to come in. It should be a great afternoon.
Tony, a delight as always. Fingers crossed for the weekend. Thanks for coming on.
Okay. Yeah, good luck.
All right, thanks, Caroline.
Cheers, Tony. Thanks, Tony Dolbear down at Sutton. I love what could be this weekend. According to FA Cup Fact File and also us last week, we spotted it too. It could be a record-breaking weekend for FA Cup. Four non-league clubs going through to the third round, Dave. And are you going to catch one of the matches?
Yeah, I'm actually going to catch a match, but I think I'm going to try and go and see Hendon. I haven't been to Hendon's new ground, guys. And someone tweeted earlier in the week that there's two new forms of beer on sale, so that sort of sweared it for me. But I will as ever have my phone set on all the cup games, because it is a great time of the season for us.
Well, do me a favour, and hopefully when you're down there, record some stuff, come into the studio next week, because I'm lonely without either of you two. A combination of all matters, someone oversleeping, who we won't mention, not you, Anderson, and other things meant that I'm on my own in the studio this week. But at least we got there in the end. So, Mr. Anderson, a pleasure.
As always, boss. Thank you.
Dave Anderson then on the non-league show. Thank you to you for your company as well. I tell you what, if anyone lives near any of our studios, which you probably don't know, but we're up and down the country, you are more than welcome to come in at any time and share a cup of tea with me. I'll make a mean coffee as well at non-league show if you want to be part of it too. Or perhaps you want to join us on Skype, FaceTime, or like the boys via the medium of tin can. Thank you for your company. Keep up the conversation. Find us on Twitter. We're at non-league show. Bye for now.